All right, Ali Tetrick, you're on the BWR show, and we are stoked to have you on board. What are you up to this fine evening?
Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be on the show, and currently it's late evening for me, but it's 7:20, so definitely have a glass of rosé in hand, and I'm excited to chat. I won't tell you what time happy hour started.
I was going to ask you what drink is in hand, because you can't talk some BWR and fun riding stories without having a proper drink in your hand.
I won't even give a post-race interview until you guys hand me a beer. So, I mean, my cost is pretty steep.
I mean, not even post-race interview. How about like mid-ride stop?
Well, and there's bacon. For a bacon or a beer, I might talk to people. But other than that, we'll see.
Okay, so that's the sweet spot for you. You gotta have bacon and beer, and then you'll start to talk.
Yeah, I'm gonna actually gonna scratch that beer and say bourbon, but I don't think there's actually a legit spot for that. But if somebody wants to put it on course for me, I'm all ears.
I bet we can make that happen. I'm gonna go out on a limb. I mean, there's probably gonna be a lot of tequila though, because this is a Cinco de Mayonnaise ride. So, but maybe we can sneak some bourbon in for you.
Okay, I mean, I'm okay with tequila. I mean, I could probably bend the rules. Because
do we have to force your hand for tequila?
No, you don't.
There we go. That's what I like to hear. Okay. All right, Allison, let's get into it. So, you know, a lot of people know you from, you know, kind of all these new style events, you know, Queen of Kanza, just all the other events you've won, which I'm sure there's a rap sheet for it. But before that, you were like a legit roadie. You were serious.
I raced.
Give a little background on that.
Yeah, I raced about 9 years. I think at the top level of women's road racing. So I've pretty much done it all from, you know, on almost every continent except Antarctica, racing my bike on the world tour, represented the USA national team. Medal at the UCI World Championship, represented the USA at the Pan American Games, and won stages in Europe, Argentina, and the United States. So, riding off road for me still is not my go to. I'm a little bit of a roadie, but I think this whole new style of racing has been a super fun way for me to kind of lower the tire pressure in life, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the fun time now. Like, you did enough of the serious stuff. Just to, you know, maybe not everyone knows actually what you really accomplished when you're racing on the road. Well, what are some of the highlights that you did? You know, maybe some of the teams that you rode for while you're racing on that nice skinny tires of like 23 size mil.
Does anyone own rim brakes or 23 millimeter tires anymore? That just sounds.
I don't even know what that word is.
It's like fossils. I mean, I don't know if we can sell that stuff on eBay anymore. So I started racing in 2009. I played tennis in college. I played NCAA tennis. And actually, my late grandfather got me into cycling, and he rode bikes until he was 87 years old. And he kind of elbowed me to try bike racing. And let's be honest, road racing is super dorky, right? Like, you're wearing neon clothes. They're really tight. I was like, that sounds like
the last. Speak for yourself, okay?
I was like, that sounds like the last thing I want to do. But then I went into triathlon, and then started road racing. I lived in the Bay Area. I have a biochemistry background. I was working in the Bay Area, and they were like, hey, try some road races. So I jumped in. I mean, a couple races in, I'm considered a pro. I get invited to the Olympic Training Center and get on the national team. And this is all in 2009. And so I got a pro contract with my first pro team, which was Team TIPCO, which is still in existence. It's an awesome supporter of women's cycling. And I raced for Team TIPCO for, I think, about a couple years, and won stage races like the Mirko Cycling Classic, Nature Valley Grand Prix, won stages there. I've won stages like a lot of races domestically. And then, of course, once I transitioned into I raced for Cannondale on Silence Pro Cycling. I raced for Astana, and on to Optum Pro Cycling, which is now Rally. So
wait, how was it racing for Astana?
Because it's all like American team, American team, American team. And they're like, oh yeah, I was on Astana.
Astana was probably one of my most favorite and beautiful cycling memories.
Really?
Went over and was the only American on the team, raced in Italy, no one spoke English. I won some races over in Europe, and it turns out the racing's very hard there, which actually suited me quite well, because the races are longer and just, like, it's just hard. Like, it never lets up, you know? It's not like, oh, you kind of ride, and then you go as hard as you can up a mountain. It was, like, it was just hard all day, which I think just suited me, and then now kind of what I'm doing. And it was just pretty funny, because on Astana, you know, we go and we get third overall, La Route de France, so kind of a women's version of the Tour de France or whatever, and we're doing all this racing in France, and we're third overall, and we get second on the stage, and I'm, like, high-fiving, hugging my teammates, and I didn't speak Italian yet. I learned Italian quickly, but I didn't speak Italian, and they're all crying. I'm like, why are you crying? We did great. We're third overall. We got prize money. Yeah. And they're like, he said we rode, like, a bunch of fat goats, and I was like, goats climb hills, right? I like goats, you know, and so it's
hey, that's a compliment.
Yeah, I was like, no one's ever called
me. Like, I'm a climber now.
Yeah, you're the greatest of all time, or am I a climber? I mean, I think goat's great. I was like, ladies, we yeah. can do so much worse than goats.
Yeah, you got a good point there.
Yeah, so I mean, and it was just this beautiful team, because you lose all control, but I think I learned that now in what I do in this more adventure, you know, not really defined racing I'm doing now, but you actually have to. As a road racer, you're like, what's my power? What's my PSS? You know, what's this? What's that? Where are we going? And in this new style of racing I do, you have to kind of let go of the reins and say, hey, like, I want to ride my bike as hard as I can. I want to get from point A to B as fast as I can and challenge myself, or shoot, just have a lot of fun with all my friends. But you have to be able to let go of that control. And Astana did that. I mean, they were like, hey, I couldn't speak the language. I'm just living in some team house in Italy. And I made these bonds with people just because we're kind of suffering in the trenches together in Flanders and Tour de France and all these things in Europe. And we just had a blast, and we kind of found this universal language of bikes, which I kind of think I found again in this new style of racing I've been doing. So it was pretty cool.
So what was the last year you're racing professionally?
My last World Tour contract was 2016. No, 17. Ooh, 2017, actually, with Silence Pro Cycling.
Yeah, so not too long ago.
No.
So I remember, like, you know, you were always one that would always kind of be around some of the Fondos, the Grand Fondo scene, like, you know, you'd like, you know, they'd have, like, the pros on, you know, come join, VIP riders. So you've kind of always, I don't want to say always, but I remember you've kind of been around that for a bit, but the last, I don't know, what do you want to say, year and a half, 18 months, 2 years almost, maybe not even that long, like, you've really dove into, like, this new style, you know, like, the BWR, DK, you know, Gravel World, like, kind of this more off-roadish, but fun, laid back, drinking bourbon, like, you've kind of really I don't want to say target, but, like, you just kind of become part of that scene almost, like, really taken out by the
rings.
Like, where did that kind of come from?
No, it's really hard. You have to train for that. Drinking bourbon takes work. I train to be there.
Yeah, we're going to get into your training. Don't worry. So, like, let's put a little hold on that conversation. You know, I'm going to get there. It's on the agenda.
I I train for that. It's very difficult. I have a hard job. I get to go to.
Yeah, this is a serious podcast right now. We're talking about, I mean, like you just said, PSS and Watts.
Yeah, I'm going to take a sip of my rosé and answer that question. Going to events like
people want
to
know.
You are. Yes. Going to these events, these Grand Fondos, or, you know, adventure rides, or whatever you want to call them, mixed terrain, you know, albeit if you're on a road bike, a gravel bike, a mountain bike. No, never mind. Let's go with a road bike and gravel bike, cross bike, or et cetera, like hybrid bikes and all these kind of just, you know, ride what you bring and kind of embrace the day is been my style. I'm not saying off-road necessarily was my style, but it's kind of about connecting with the community and going to an event where I can ride my bike all day with my friends. And maybe I didn't know they were my friends at the start line, but by the end, they're either really annoyed with me or they love me or both. And that's kind of was my audience. It's like, these are my people. And I went through some pretty hard times through my road racing career where you're injured and you're constantly like, I don't know. You're targeting goals and measures of success that people are defining for you. And I didn't find that always that rewarding, because my goals that somebody else told me was my goal wasn't always what inspired me. Like, maybe I just actually like to ride my bike all day up the coast of California and drink Sancerre and eat oysters. Like, that actually might inspire me more than an Olympic gold medal. So I'm like, well, what can I do? How do I get to do that? So it was a way to just actually like ride with people that I like and connect with the community and kind of find these like-minded people that are just as crazy as you are. And you get to ride your bike really hard. You get to challenge yourself. You can win, or you can stop at every aid station and have a party. Like, I think that the options are just endless, and you still have a huge sense of satisfaction at the end of the day. So once I started going to those events, I was like, okay, this is actually where I should be. And I still get to challenge myself, and I'm still relevant, and I still get to ride really hard and kind of help grow our sport and hopefully inspire others to do the same.
Yeah, no, I like what you said right there. That really, I think that really hits home with like, with, you know, with your road background, like your professional background. Like, you know, you said like you go to these events and you can race them and try to do well or win, or you can hang out and have fun and stop at the stops and meet new friends and just have fun. And there's nothing wrong with either one of those, and they're both like welcome. But in, you know, the racing scene, that's not really an option. You know, it's like you go there, you have a job, you have to do it. And if you don't do your job, you know, the director is going to rip you a new one, your team is going to be mad. You're going to be called a goat.
Yeah, you're going to be called a fat goat. Yeah. And I think that's the thing. Yeah.
You might actually ride with a fat goat at one of these events, like a legit goat. Like, there might be one out there, because you know some stuff we ride through. Yeah. You just rode through a house at Cobbler. Like, there could have been a wiener dog or something in there that you've been riding with.
I know. I rode with plenty of cows. You know, Rock Cobbler. It's the game. Is it cow poop or is it mud? You know? Like, like, you don't want to know. And I'm like, it's cool. I grew up on a ranch. I got this.
I got it. No, it is very cool, like, to where it's going. So, you know, speaking of, like, these events, you know, you've been around, you know, you've raced, you've kind of seen a lot, you've been in Europe, like you said. Like, how do you feel from, like, racing in Europe? Obviously, like, it's really strong over there, racing. Over in the U.S., it's definitely no secret. It's taken a dip the last few years, but on the same end, like, these events are blowing up and, you know, they're getting popular, racers are going to them, but then just riders are going to them. Like, how do you feel like that that's going in the U.S. with our current cycling scene, from, I don't want to say racing, but just like kind of cycling events in general?
I think it's a really exciting time to be in the industry and cycling, and also just how these events are really helping target a larger audience, right? Where, you know, no one wants to get dropped, but, you know, on these longer days or these big events, like, when everyone can have a success story at the end of the day, and it's not this super intimidating barrier to entry to the sport. I think that's what these events are doing so positively, is they're saying, hey, like, come to try to win. Like, I might or I might not. You never know what version of me you're going to get that day. And also, you can have people either try to get a PR or, you know, beat their friends, or you have other people that's the longest they've ever ridden, or they've never ridden their bike around Lake Hodges at BWR, and it's super scary, and they can challenge themselves and kind of conquer their own little personal battle. And then at the end of the day, we're all drinking beer and eating waffles and barbecue and like telling our war stories. And so I think that's really positive for cycling in the United States, since cycling isn't as old of a sport on the roadside as it is in Europe. It's less attainable in the U.S. where people felt like it's up there on that pedestal and they can't reach down and grab it. And with an event like BWR, where you can bring this like crazy adventure, which is like super challenging. It's challenging for me. It's challenging for you. It's challenging for everyone that lines up there, whether you're doing the wafer or the waffle. It's hard as heck. And you're bringing that sport down to them, and you're defining a goal that they can just have fun, whatever expectation they have that day, whether it be finishing or trying to beat Brian at the line or eating as much bacon as humanly possible. I don't care, but just like go out and have fun and make friends. So I think it makes the sport more approachable, that it doesn't always have that history in the United States.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like, I look at, like, you know, the U.S. is never going to be Europe for racing. It's just not like anyone that's racing, the goal is to go to Europe. That's where you're going to go and make a career if you can make it to that level. But the US, like, we kind of, like, we were, I mean, the way I looked at it, like, we're always kind of like the little, you know, brother or sister, and like Europe's like the big one, like, oh, you want to go over there and be cool. But, you know, now over here, it's kind of like this almost change of tides to where we're having these big events pop up, you know, VWR, Dirty Kanza, like all these different style, like, that Europe hasn't really gotten to yet. And I mean, I remember I went over to the UK like maybe over a year ago now and did an event similar over there. And they were like, oh, you're from like the US. They listed off all these events. And I'm like, and they're like, they looked at that as like super cool. And like, we're doing that. And like, Europe was trying to do stuff like that. It's kind of like, it's kind of cool. It's like, all right, cool. Like, you know, the table's kind of turning. Like, we got our own thing going on over here. And it's just picking steam.
Yeah, they're pretty jealous. I actually, I'll tell you one story that...
You take that, Europe. What's up?
Yeah. I'll tell you one story that I've never said in a podcast or interview because it's a little embarrassing.
Breaking news.
This is breaking news here on the BWR show. First of all, I have gotten a lot of messages from former teammates, and these are world champions and, you know, incredible athletes. They're like, can I come to the U.S. and do some of those gravel events? It looks like you're having fun. I'm like, yes, I'm having a lot of fun. Actually believe everything you see on Instagram, please. Like, actually believe it, because that is my life. But my story is, I racing in the U.S. in my early part of my career, you know, Europe is the pinnacle of the sport, you know, until we started hosting Worlds again, you know, after a long hiatus here in the U.S., like, it's like you have to go to Europe for the Tour de Flanders or, you know, Tour de France and, you know, the Giro and all these things. And like, you know, Allison, if you want to be any good in the sport, you have to go to Europe because it's so hard there. And it's like those people need to race bikes to make money and it's their life and you need to go there and experience that. So I go over and I race for Astana and we medal at Worlds and we have the time of our life. And they go, we love to have you, crazy American, on our team because you do this for the passion. You don't do this because you have to. You do it because you actually love it. And I was like, huh. I'm going to go back and tell everyone in the U.S., like, we're not crazy. Like, do the sport because you love it. Like, it's a beautiful sport. And so maybe I don't need to medal at the Olympics, but I can do this sport and do these events because I actually just love riding my bike all day with my friends and going as hard as I can sometimes and not all the time.
Yeah, we finally cracked the code. You know, you just got to have fun on a bike and it's like going to be fun and popular and people are going to want to do it.
Yeah.
And that's all it took.
Yeah. And I think that's an important thing that we bring back to it. And like, yeah, that's what you're saying. Like, Astana was super scary and you don't know the language and you're over there and you're racing all these hard races. But I was literally like, what else am I going to do? Sit at home, like doing nothing, working? Well, no, I'm just going to go and do this because I can. And that's the same thing at these events. And, you know, and I'm not going to lie. Like, sometimes, even at Rock Cobbler, like, the day goes a little different than you had anticipated. And I had to, like, you know, pull my head out of wherever it was, cow manure, possibly, and say, okay, Allison, like, stop taking yourself so seriously. Like, just let go and have fun now. I mean, you know, you just slid down a mountain or, you know, you did all this whatever you just did to make your day very interesting. You know, might as well have fun. And so I think sometimes that's important at these events, and I would encourage more people to do that. And it is just to kind of going, okay, you want to ride hard, you want to challenge yourself, you want to test your physical, mental, emotional limits, but also remember at the end of the day, like, be nice to others and don't take yourself too seriously because it really isn't life. Just a beautiful part of life.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it, like, where I see with all these new events is, like, just – no one is like super serious. You can roll up with, like, you know, you can see fellow pro racers or former pro racers or weekend warriors or just people coming out for fun. And like, everyone has the same common goal. Just like, we're here to have fun. And it's like the, almost like the ego's been like just thrown out. Cause like, you know, when you roll up to a road race or something, it's just like, don't even look at that team. Like, how dare you look over there? And it's just so tense. But like, you know, over the weekend at Cobbler, it's just like, oh, what's up? You're here too? Like, give me a hug. And it's just fun. And then, you know, everyone, you know, roll up to BWR and it's going to be the same thing. And we're going to finish at the brewery and have beers and just like, oh, you crushed it out there. Or like, oh man, you bonked. That was amazing. I love seeing you on the side of the road, just like sitting there. Like, that was awesome.
And if you're sitting on the other side of the road, I might not stop. I'm just going to say. You bonk at
BWR. Yeah, you're not. You're just like, no, dude, sorry, man. I got to go.
I might throw you a gel, but if you're all like a salt.
Oh, yeah. We've all been there, but it's just like, I'll buy you a beer later. Just handle yourself.
BWR, the secret to success there is have the right bike set up and be ready for a long day. I don't want to talk about my first year at BWR.
No, that was my next question. This is such a perfect lead. It's like, we couldn't script this better. So first BWR, like, I always love to hear like the stories of the first BWR from people because like, it's such an unknown. So like, how did you get roped into it? How did it come about? And like, how did that go for you? I know it's going to be amazing.
I am so embarrassed to talk about my first BWR, but I had just finished racing the Amgen Tour of California. And literally the night before, and I drive all the way down to San Diego, get in at, you know, like 1 a.m. or, you know, whatever, San Marcos. And I'm sorry, I'm in NorCal. Everything's the same down there once you pass, I don't know, what is it, Santa Barbara? And so I drive the night before and I borrow one of the men's team's bikes because I didn't own a disc brake bicycle. But I'm just going
to. Yeah, those weird things. What was it called? Like rime things?
Rind?
I don't know, like you said it earlier, I couldn't really tell what you're talking about. It's like foreign, it's like that Italian language you're talking about earlier.
So everyone told me for BWR you needed to have disc brakes. So I borrow one of the Silent Pro Cycling men's bikes. However, I'm just going to say the setup was not ideal for BWR, which was a complete unknown. And everyone's looking at my tires and wheels going, ooh. So I was just thinking, if I finish 50% and get four, you know, like if I can get like 3.5-4 hours of riding in, that's going to be great. But then I start riding pretty well, and I'm like, I'm going to win this thing. I get like 100 miles in, and I hit that Lake Hodges. That's when you cross the river, and you go up. And I learned adventure riding 101 off-road is that you do not bulldoze that section. So I tend just to like throw it in the biggest gear and just freaking get over. I'm like, you know. And I'm like, I'm winning BWR. This is so fun. And then my bike just goes. You know, you could like hear the explosion. Like, I'm pretty sure someone called 911 and my bike just blew apart. And I'm sitting there and everyone's like, oh, do you need help changing your flat? I'm like, this ain't a flat. And we're 110 miles in, right? So, in my cone of shame, my first BWR, I Ubered back to the brewery.
No way. You got an Uber? I didn't even know that. That's amazing.
I walked 4 miles because we were on that single track along Lake Hodges. And, you know, every woman's passing me, like looking at me. And I'm talking, it's like 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Every dude, you know, you need help? And I'm like, nothing can help me. Like, God can't help
like,
me.
You're like, Timmy is 3 minutes away. I'm fine.
I walked that entire single track section through the sand, through everything till I got to that harbor or whatever, you know, marina there. And I look and the brewery's only about a 7-minute drive away and I Ubered. Like, I had no.
Oh, yeah. No, that part, like, Uber is like amazing. You're like, give me that XL, bring it over. That's actually should be a tip. That's a BWR tip. Bring your phone because you might have to Uber.
Yeah. Like, every spoke was broken. The tire had rolled off. I broke my fork. Like, I mean, I just bulldozed that bike into the abyss and there was nothing I can do. And I will not name names, but I'm in the Uber XL.
You can name names here. It's okay. Like, I won't tell anyone.
He knows. But I'm driving in my Uber XL through the neighborhoods back to the brewery, which turns out like you have 20 more miles to go, but it's like only like 7 miles away. And I'm driving back and I see one unnamed professional rider that hunts a lot of Strava and he is off course and just riding back through the neighborhoods. And that Uber goes, oh, look at that poor guy over there. I'm like, he was in my race. It looks like he quit too.
Phil Guyman. I mean,
no. I mean, actually, I do know who that is.
Yeah. That's, you know, you can be like you can be the top pros and, you know, think you're for fly, but you might be lost in a neighborhood or getting an Uber back at BWR.
Yeah, so what I learned from my first BWR, yes, it's very challenging. I still had like 6 hours in the saddle or, you know, 5.5, 6 hours. And I was it was a hard effort, especially after 5 days of stage racing at the Amgen Tour of California. But I did learn equipment really matters for an event like that. I mean, you can be as fast as you want uphill with the world's lightest bike, but if the bike can't handle everything else your day has to offer, it's way more satisfaction if you can actually finish the damn thing. I was like, last year my only goal was to finish, and so I got third, and everyone's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, I am so stoked I wasn't in an Uber.
Like, yeah, you're like, I rode here. Timmy from Uber XL did not drive me back.
Yeah.
It's a success.
Like, I crashed twice, I broke a chain, and I finished third, and I finished. I finished.
Yeah.
And so
your taste way better.
Yeah, everyone doing BWR.
I did not JQ, I did not just quit.
No, you did not. You did not just quit.
All right. So yeah. Okay. That was the one topic I wanted. Like, this is great. The lead-ins are just killing it for these next questions. So we're talking about like bike setup, you know? So I really want to like kind of help educate anyone that's not done BWR, who has done BWR. Maybe there's any girls out there who are on the fence and we want to talk about bike setup. So let's talk bike setup with you. What's your, you know, your tips or what you like, which might work for someone or might not work for someone, but like let's get a little intel. What's Tetrix bike setup looking going into BWR?
So the type of rider I am, like we did, of course, you know, shamelessly graze on this earlier. I ride a lot.
Former pro cyclists like everyone else out there.
Yeah. I mean, I have a huge road background, so I do like to ride a bike that feels like a road bike that, you know, responds, is agile and twitchy like a road bike, but you're going to need tire clearance. Last year, I rode a Specialized Diverge with 30 millimeter tires run tubeless with a compact Ram E-Tap. So kind of a nice, like kind of cruisy road bike setup. But I think what I like the most, and I maybe some people are really fearless on a bicycle, I tend to have a very high degree of fear and a very high respect for the pavement. So, or dirt or rocks or
pavement hurts.
River crossing. No, those rocks, when my bike exploded on Lake Hodges, like those rocks were not kind to me. So I actually would prefer not to hurt myself. So if I'm more comfortable I'm on my bike, the better. So I do take confidence in a good set of tires, you know, whatever those are. I rode a Specialized Roubaix last year, 30 millimeter tires with tubeless. And Roubaix tires on a Diverge bicycle. And that to me was just really comfortable. And maybe it's not like a pure road setup, but for the durability for later on in the event. I mean, there's a lot of, it's just like your body's getting really jarred. And at the beginning of the event, I mean, whatever course it is, you know, I think sometimes it's a little roady at the start, but then later on, you know, you don't want to end up being like the atomic bomb going off at Lake Hodges that needed Timmy the Uber driver XL to come pick me up. So, for me, that's my ideal setup. I rode road shoes the last couple years. I know that's a big debate too, whether you ride road or mountain. There's a lot of road, and you know, being from a road background, I do like that feeling, like, you know, it's twitchy and hard, and I want my bike responsive. So I feel like I had a pretty good setup. I have a,
you know, actually that's a good point you brought up real quick, like the pedal setup, because I like to ride a road pedal as well, but the terrain at BWR, even though like it's the dirt and it's rock, it's, unless it rains, of course, which in Southern California, we've actually got a lot of rain lately, but normally it rains like, you know, maybe two nights out of the year.
Yeah.
If it's normal, like it's just hard packed, and like you can get away, I believe, with like a road pedal to where if you have to unclip, you're not really like clogging it up. You know, if you think like dirty cans or whatever, like you're going to put 1 foot down in that terrain and like you're just clogged for days. Same thing with cobbler. Like it rained that morning, like it was so goopy, you had to have a mountain bike pedal. But like, you know, if you do like a road pedal and like if it's normal weather where it's dry and stuff, like yeah, I believe you get through it just fine. Even if you do have to walk, I mean, it's not the best for your shoes or your cleats, but you know, it works.
Yeah, I was happy with my setup the last few years, and I always bring both setups just in case. I mean, I'm just a little bit of a dork and super prepared usually, so I'll bring. I ride speed play, so I'll either have my road shoes and my zeros, or I'm gonna have my scissors and my, you know, recons, which are awesome, you know, and it's set up very similar. But I mean, I just like to have that kind of intimate feeling with my bicycle. Don't quote me on that.
Oh, all right. All right. All right then. All right, so we got the setup down. So let's get some go-to training advice.
Okay,
where we can also pepper in.
Setup. I have a very
special, all right, we're not done yet. I
have a very excited, special sorry. Bike coming to BWR this year, but I cannot wait to show you guys. That's it. That's all I can say.
Are you gonna ride it on a fixie?
I'm already building my BWR bike as of yesterday, and it is going to launch at BWR, and it will blow everybody's mind. All I'm gonna say.
So what is it?
I can't tell you. I signed NDAs for this.
Nice. Cool.
It's gonna be
amazing. You signed NDAs? You fancy.
I'm so fancy.
I just signed an NDA for, such a big deal.
Okay, well, so we're talking training.
Cool, we can't wait. Thanks for just blurring that one in there. Yeah, okay, no, just give you a hard time. But yes, let's talk training now. How do we get to the level to where you can we can make it through BWR, but also have a good time and maybe, a little bit of tequila or bourbon along the way, just on the side. How do you get that done with your training?
I think you have to train for this. No, I think a cool
do you like do like to- two threshold efforts and then a shot and then you keep going for some zone two efforts? Come on now. I know you mix it you got that pro roadie stuff, but then, drinks come.
Yeah, the twice a week my training for BWR is I do my group ride here in Marin. Well, I live in Sonoma, but I ride down to do my Marin group ride. I go kick a bunch of guys' butts, and then I stop at the bakery, have a Moscow Mule and a slice of pizza, and then ride another 4 hours. So that's how I train for BWR. I don't recommend.
So you're carb loading. That's old school. That's that Italian, what you were talking about earlier, carb loading.
Totally. No, in all seriousness, all right. I think training for something that, here we are, Cinco de Mayo, Cinco de Mayo, you're looking at May 5th. If you can pepper in a few other events that maybe aren't the duration of BWR, so they're not necessarily going to cost you as much, exhaustion, physically, mentally, emotionally, but are super fun. So you can just kind of test your equipment, test your fitness, and then, my main thing is to get a couple days of intensity and one long ride a week and call it good. I mean, I work and I travel a lot and do a lot of events. So when I go to an event, I like to usually ride pretty hard just to, cause what else am I going to do? And I have the excuse to, and even I could be stopping and drinking and eating along the way, but I still tend to ride decent. So I get some training in, or if I don't feel like it, I don't. So I think when you approach these things, you get a good training plan. And I know, BWR has some good resources regarding that. I mean, I work with a coach, on that. And then when you come to the day, it's just a matter of kind of taking that pressure off of yourself and just remembering all those fun rides you did with your friends where you're doing two threshold intervals and taking a shot of bourbon. I don't know what you're doing. And then, all that work you did to
prepare. I learned that from you.
Yeah, I know. It's a really good strategy. All that preparation that you've done along the way, and then kind of going, when it comes to the day, it doesn't matter. As you lead up to it, stop testing yourself. And the week before, you're I wonder if I can beat my PR at this point. People tend to test themselves and doubt yourself a lot. And I think on the end of the day, you have to show up to the event. And sometimes the hardest thing is signing up, getting to the start line. And some of those things are the hardest thing ever. We all have life and crazy things going on, and it's scary. And so I think getting to the start line is a huge win. And then once you go, you need to kind of try to enjoy yourself and remind yourself that you chose to be there. Phil or, Mark, they're not twisting your arm to be you have to do this event, you actually signed up and paid money to show up. So as I did,
yeah, you paid for this. That's what you got to remember.
I literally at Rock Cobbler, well, I know now I'm taking away the punch, but somebody asked what's your mantra? And at Rock Cobbler, it literally was you paid for this. You legitimately pulled out your credit card and you paid to come to this. So
what?
No one's paying for it. Zero. This was your choice. You could have gone home. You could have called your mom. You could have done anything else today, and you showed up. So why don't you freaking do this? So I think sometimes we have to remember that. No one's forcing you. And the reason is you're there is because you enjoy the challenge. And honestly, whether you're at the wafer or the waffle, they're both really long dates. They're really challenging.
Yeah.
And
not short.
I think the biggest advice is like on your fueling and nutrition. And I know we're joking about having all the fun along the way, which you should, but honestly, just like eat and drink early and often, you know, like, somebody asked me that, what's your mantra?
Yeah. That's a long day. That's what, Neil talked about. Neil talked about his bottles, you know, putting the carbs in the beginning. Like, yeah, all joking aside along, like you got to take it seriously to like get through that day.
Well, the first hour is like a little
no walk in the park.
Yeah, but the first hour is a little scary. You're with a ton of people. You're not by yourself yet, or, you know, mm-hmm. a small little group. And so it's scary. But, you know, my goal is, like, I try to drink a bottle an hour and 250 calories an hour. So it's, like, it's a gel or a bar and a bottle with some electrolyte or however you know, however you want to mix it. And it's just a really good way for me to be like, okay, are you taking care of yourself? Are you moving forward? And later on when you're cramping and you're that salt lick on the side of the road that I'm, like, riding over and ignoring, like, if you start early on that, like, you're really going to help yourself later in the day. And it's still going to be hard regardless at the end of the day. So that's kind of my key is to get a good training plan, do some fun events, challenge yourself. But then when it comes to the day, like, let go of the pressure, but then also remember to take care of yourself because it's freaking long. And it can, last year was so hot, you know, I mean, and anything can happen.
Yeah. You never know. The weather is like, I mean, like I said, like it's raining a ton right now in Southern California. Like, the weather's been weird. Like, it's hot, it's cold, it's raining. Like, you got to be prepared. And like, I think that's a good point. Like, you're so excited and having so much fun that first hour or so. You're with everyone, it's fast, you're hanging out. It's like, you're not hungry, you're not thirsty. Like, you have to stay on.
You
have to be drinking, you have to be eating. You have to stay on that. Because, you know, like they always say, like, if, you know, you wait till you're thirsty or you're hungry, it's too late.
Exactly. And then I think, though, by the time you hit that fun tequila stop and the bacon and all of that, like, if I remember right, those were much later in the day too. So you've probably made a lot of money.
You're gonna have more fun if you can feel up to taking those than if you're like, I just need to sit for a moment because you can't stomach it at that.
And some people I was riding with like wanted to quit there, you know, it was like that oasis of fun, but then they're like, I'm done. And, you know, I think that's the point too, is like, as long as you take care of yourself and keep like you're on your nutrition and just stay within yourself too, because all these people too, they go so hard at the beginning because they want to be world champion. I'm like, do you realize, A, this is not world championships? I want to say this out loud, that BWR.
Yeah, some people will debate that with you.
It's not the world championships.
Some people, they line up a little too seriously.
They line up real seriously.
You don't know who those people are, and it's like, it's pump the brakes.
And I'm getting elbowed and moved around. I'm like, dude, I'm not going to see you in 7 hours. I'm going to tell you, you're going to be about 3 hours behind me, so do not bump me. And, you know, like, cool your jets. We're all just going to start this real civil. We're going to, like, we want to race. We want to go hard, but let's just cool your jets a hair, you know?
No, the best is when, like, someone won't let you in when it's, like, 130 miles to go.
Oh,
and
no.
It's like, oh, yeah, sorry. I forgot you had to be, like, sixth wheel to win, like, 140 miles out. It's like, just open that. Just let them in. Just let them in.
People don't want to.
All right, so.
It's the world championships. Okay, yes, sir.
It is worlds. Okay, so this is going longer than planned, but of course we can chat for days. So we're gonna do a little speed round of like some questions from we put some photos, you know, some stuff out on social, like ask us some questions. We got a huge response from those, so we picked a few, and whatever we don't get to, Allison, you'll for sure get back to everyone.
Absolutely,
you're such a good scenario. Okay, so question number one from Paul A. Landry. Do you always drape your braid ponytail over your right shoulder? So, breaking more news here on the BWR show.
Yes, my ponytail always goes over the right.
Is that like just how is that gravity, or do you like just normally always do that? Like, are you like your righty hand, so it just goes to your right?
I mean, I could take that question a lot of different ways. How I'm not going to ask further explain. But it just goes to the right, okay? I'm just going to leave it there.
All right. It just goes to the right. We said speed around, so that was perfect. Just yes, it goes to the right. All right. Question. All right, we're moving on. We got that one done.
I think I just snorted. Okay, keep going.
Hey, easier than I would say. Okay, Grant Miller. He wants to know, how much do you ride/train per week, per month? Like, do you break it down into hours, miles, terrain? Is it specific, or like what's kind of like your training regimen look like?
I usually tend to ride about 20 hours a week. I don't do miles because of course.
You still ride that much?
I do. I love to ride my bike.
Oh man, you gotta enjoy life, though. Jesus.
I know. I just really love to ride my bicycle. So, like, you don't have to. Yeah,
nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
I like to ride about 20, and then my bigger weeks, you know, I can go up to 30, 28 to 30, but most of the time it's about 18 to 20. You know, I work and ride, and I try to balance
So you go more off hours than miles?
I do hours because miles with elevation, I mean, a 30-mile ride with 6,000 feet of climbing could take you, you know, 4 hours or 3.5 or whatever versus 60 miles of flat.
You're a goat. Like
that. Yeah.
It does not take you that long.
I'm a goat. Greatest of all time.
What about terrain? Now that you're doing more of these, you know, crazy off-road fun style rides, do you try to add a little more dirt stuff to your program?
I actually have kept my training pretty similar to it was when it was a road racing, only because it's easy and I know what to expect. However, I am much more accepting of mixed terrain rides and like all day adventure rides, which it's as funny as I actually ride my bike more now that I retired or, you know, stopped road racing as much, is because now I'm not like, oh, I have a rest day. I'm like, oh, I can actually do whatever I want today.
And so, you're like, oh, I'm having fun. This is cool.
Yeah. If my friends are like, hey, we're riding at the coast, we're going to take this sick dirt road back that's through private property and we have permission and it's going to be like 117 miles. I'll be like, yeah, that sounds great. I'm smashed, but yeah, sure. Why not? You know, is there stumps there and oysters? I'm in. So I think like, I want to be more willing to do that. And I've actually done quite a bit of intervals, which I know we don't want to use that word on this podcast, but I have done a lot of that in dirt this year only to work on my equipment and my position on the bicycle.
Yeah.
I know. You I'm lost trying not to be serious.
You
I
lost
know.
The intervals. Sorry.
I said intervals. Yeah. I said it. I'm never the invited Italian here again. Language. I know. I'm so Italian.
So, not WWR this year. All right. So. Okay, so Rico 1027 wants to know, what size tire do you recommend, and tubeless or tubes?
Always, I think for BWR, tubeless is key, and I would say between a 28 and 30 millimeter tire.
Wait, would you say between a 28 and 38?
No, 28 and 30 millimeter.
Oh, okay, sorry.
With a really good, right, like,
okay.
A really good sturdy sidewall. Like I said, I use a Specialized Roubaix tire in a 30, and it's a big tire, but it's, you know, you want it to sustain some of those sharp rocks towards the, I'm assuming, the end of the course as well as the beginning. But I mean, we want to finish, guys.
What about
we
maybe,
want to finish.
Yeah, we want to finish. You don't want to Uber back with Timmy. What about the people that, this is just a little sidebar I'm going to add on to, maybe that aren't super, you know, well-educated, skilled in the dirt, you know, do you think maybe they should go a little bigger on the tire to be comfortable in the dirt? Or do you think there's just more road to where you're going to like make up more time on the road to where you suffer through the dirt a little bit? I mean, I've seen people with like up to 40s out there. You know, I mean, what's your two cents on that?
I mean, I might be different than popular opinion. I think that if you build up this bike, go and test it on your local trails or roads, or, you know, like go and take your bike through the ringer to see how you feel on it. And it's, on race day, I mean, you have a couple things that happen. You get superpowers because you have all this adrenaline. And then you also have like the pressure, which does like the opposite thing. I personally think a 30 millimeter, I would not see any reason to go bigger on that course, at least the two courses I've seen. Also because you're just going to pay a price on the road. And now you're taking somebody that isn't as experienced and you're also asking them to spend more hours on the road on a slower tire. And so I would like to drink a beer with them sooner rather than later. That's all. And I might be off topic saying that, but that's my opinion. I think it's
That's valid. That is a valid reason. That's what we talked about on the BWR show.
Okay.
Valid reasons.
Okay.
Hope that answers your question, Rico 1027. Okay. So Cass _ Key, KEE. I hope I said that right.
Yeah.
What is your ideal bike? Oh, okay, cool. We got a local. All right. Perfect. Ideal bike and tire setup. We already just kind of talked about the tire, but like, what's your ideal bike for BWR?
I think something like a Diverge.
And don't be all sponsor pluggy over here. Be like, go buy this bike because it's exactly what I ride. Like, what's
What do you think is a good bike?
I personally would be happy on a Specialized Diverge or a Roubaix or something similar. So you're looking for disc brakes.
Like you just tire disregard clearance. Everything I just said.
Yep. I am going to say what I would ride. Hashtag sponsor correct. Two, I think they're amazing. But you're looking, like, I would just look for tire clearance to get that 30 tubeless, 28 to 30 okay. tubeless.
There we go.
You're looking for disc like brakes. And what the Specialized and Roubaix have that are unique are the a little bit of a shock. They're just comfortable. And I did mention earlier, I do have that high fear factor. So I have a little travel. I have about, on that bike, I have a little shock. So 20 millimeters of travel where when I am like launching off of something where everyone's saying send it and I'm terrified, I feel more comfortable with that, which means I go faster. So
full send.
Yeah, I full send for me is not a, ever a full send. So I'm just thinking looking.
So,
for
okay, speaking of that, because there's.
Okay, a comfortable bike, good tire clearance, disc brakes, and you can full send it. I mean, I don't full send.
So do you think that really does help? Because there's really only, I mean, thinking off the top of my head, kind of like just a couple options. There's like the Specialized, like the head shock, and there's like the lap fork. Like, do you think like that stuff actually really does help out in these style events?
Yes, I
do. The electric push?
I really do.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's different on what they find comfortable, but I do think, those, it does help and it's a long day. And honestly, like what we just said is you want to finish. So you just want to set up a bike and it is a total personal preference. It's like, you just want to set up a bike that's durable, reliable, and comfortable for you. And what may be comfortable for you and you can full send different than I full send. For me personally, having a little like absorption helps just on some of that really rocky section, which I don't have a huge experience, you know, Bible of yet. You know, I'm still working on it. Like every time I'm on that technical section, I'm doing my mantras and my breathing exercise and saying, I swipe my credit card and I pay to do the BWR. And this is horrible.
I paid for this.
Like I paid to,
I signed up for this.
Yeah. I signed up for this. So, that's all personal. It just depends on what your, you know, what your wheelhouse is, but I think it's just important for each rider to have a durable and comfortable bike that can get them over the terrain where we finish and don't call Timmy the Uber.
Do not. I mean, if you have to call Timmy, you got to call Timmy, but let's make it through it. All right. This one's great. I had to pull this one because it's just legend. Derek Betcher wants to know, will you be walking your bike a good portion of BWR or is your hiking career coming to an end?
So, well, let's just talk about...
Do you want to maybe give everyone a little backstory on that?
Yeah, so we'll just talk about Derek here real quick. So I might have ran into him at the Rock Cobbler as I was walking down the descent. And I was walking the descent. There's no shame here, people. I was scared. I started walking my bicycle.
Not even hiking.
No, I was walking. And then suddenly, you know, I felt like I was in the Big Lebowski and I'm a bowling pin and I just hear a bunch of dudes coming behind me and I'm like, I'm about to get taken out on this luge that I'm walking down. It was very terrifying. And he came by me like a bowling ball. I basically jumped into a tumbleweed to avoid him taking me out. And I'm like, please don't tell me you just saw me walking. And he was like, you really were... I thought you crashed. I didn't know you were actually just walking the descent.
Oh, you're like, oh, I had an out. You had an out on that.
I did, and I didn't take it. I'm standing in the tumbleweeds and staring at him. He's like, are you okay? And I was like, no, I'm just walking the descent. He goes, walking because you crashed or walking? I was like, I'm terrified. That's why I'm walking. So to Derek, I hope I don't walk the BWR, but I will not make any promises.
We're gonna be watching.
And when he's on the side of the road all cramped up, do you know who's going to, like, not walk by him? Probably me. Yeah.
You're going to, like, throw something at him. You know, it'll be like that scene. Have you seen oh, man. It's killing me. I can't think of it. Great old comedy Western movie where he throws, like, the canteen at him because he's all parched and he, like, goes to take a drink and just, like, sand come out.
Yeah, that's like a Clint Eastwood film. That's what I'm going to do to Derek.
No, it's not. It's not that serious. It's someone's gonna listen to this and be like, "Oh my god, you idiot!" It's that movie. But you'll like throw him like a water bottle, and he'll be like, "Oh, so happy!" And then he'll just like open it up, and, like sand. I'm like, sorry, bye.
Yeah, I'll be like, "How's that for walking?" Call Timmy. Here's his card.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, let's wrap this up. But before I wrap it up, I always like to ask everyone on the show, what is your top three personal BWR tips? Like, let's think, we're getting more girls into cycling. These events are great because more girls are coming out. BWR is a big fan of that. We're doing a lot to get the women's participation up. So let's think of, Lindsay that's out in like Tennessee and she's going to come out to BWR for the first time. She's got no idea what's going on. She's heard the stories. It's crazy. She's terrified from what Michael Marks is saying on like social and like, give her your three tips for BWR.
Three tips for BWR. Can I answer two questions that we forgot to answer? I know we're running out of time, but I just feel guilty. And my friend Jordan, she asked me if the wafer was too scary for her to come out and try as a novice off-roadie. And I say, absolutely not. Please come. And somebody, in case anyone wants to bring me bourbon, ask my favorite bourbon. And I'm going to go, it's like a house wine. I have a lot of nice bourbon I like, but if you want to bring me like Bullet, I feel like it's like a good house
wine. I like how you're just like, can I answer another question? It's just plugging you to get more alcohol.
Yeah. Okay. No. And we want Jordan to come out to BWR. Okay. Now.
Okay. Top... Oh, yeah. And not forget Jordan. Well, no, that's great. That's
I'm just
great.
Saying, I feel like we need to address very important questions. Jordan and bourbon. Okay. And top three tips to BWR. I think one is just, showing up. Like, and in that is really heavy because it's going to require, it requires for most people, travel, logistics, bike planning, training, all of that. So the one tip is just to show up and not doubt yourself. And that doesn't sound like a very good tip, but to me, that means a lot because I know a lot of times I've showed up to races. It's a lot more challenging to get there and get the training done and build your bike and be prepared and all of that. Like, it takes a lot more work than most people want to recognize. So I'm going to go with that, is to show up. Get to the start line is number one tip. Okay.
That's a good one. That's first. No one said that one. I like that. Original.
I just get a little heavy because, we all have different things going on, but I think it's always scary to put yourself out there regardless because you're scared of the terrain, your training, the trout, whatever it is. So just to show up is number one tip. And I think that's a good life lesson. Number two, I always steal this and I apologize. I need to start paying her royalties. Celine Yeager is an amazing editor and author and woman that really helped me in my first preparation for Dirty Kanza. And one of the mantras she gave me was forward progress, take care of yourself. And in so many of these long events, we get caught up, you get all like in a wad and you're just stressed or, you're with a lot of people or the day's just not going the way you want. And you can kind of look down and be like, all right, or am I moving the pedals forward? Or according to Derek, am I walking? Am I moving forward? Like, am I making forward progress?
I mean, hey, walking is moving forward. So you've got that.
Yeah. So I'm moving forward.
Positive.
Yeah, forward progress. And then to take care of yourself is what we discussed earlier, which is like eating and drinking and, whatever that eating and drinking may be. But are you taking care of yourself? Because sometimes we get so fixated on the finish line. So A, we got to the start line. And now B, we're so fixated on the finish line that everything in between goes to hell and back. And you're not taking care of yourself to actually get there. So that's with your ride equipment, your eating and drinking. And that's super important. And then third, I would say, find what inspires you and do this because you want to. Like, find why you're there. And it may not be about your results or your PR or your Strava or winning or the beer afterward. I don't know. Whatever inspires you, though, find why you're there and what you want out of it. And, like, kind of come into it, like, open and willing to do that. And it's kind of like, this is a long day. It's like I don't know. I was out there for 7 hours. That's a long day.
Yeah, there's no joke about that. Like, it's a long day.
It's a long day. And honestly, anything can happen. Like, you could be like, your bike can, do the explosion, or, you could have just a, just not feel good, or, all sorts of things can happen, or you can like slice your sidewall. Like, I don't know, all sorts of things can happen. And so I think you have to figure out why you're there and what you want out of it. And then honestly, kind of just like let it go once you get there and just like be willing to be a sponge and absorb it and like kind of recenter yourself. Because in 7 hours, everyone's going to lose focus. Everyone's going to feel horrible. Everyone's going to doubt themselves. Everyone's going to like wish they paid off their student loans and didn't date that girl and, apologize to their mother, because you're going to go to all sorts of dark
places. In there.
Exactly. So you kind of have to just like absorb it and be ready for that and like accept it and then remember why you're there. And that's the probably like for me, I go once again, like I swipe my credit card, I'm here. And what did I want from this? It's like to hang out with my friends, challenge myself, suffer. And it's kind of a sick, weird way, like why you're there. And it's not, doesn't have to be the result that somebody told you. Like, I just think we get so bundled up in that. You're like, oh, well, if this person beats me, then what do people say about me? And you get so insecure and so like tied up in that stuff. And just like go out and like have your day, whatever day that is. And like recenter yourself when you can. I know that's getting a little hippie, but to me that works.
No, that's solid. Those are solid three tips. I like it. Different from what we've gotten so far.
Sorry, I did say TSS and interval earlier, so I'm trying to like, you know.
You lost me. You just lost me again.
Redeem myself. But I think that that's important because like that's why we're trying to do with these events is to get more people in this sport and like remember why we're all out there, which is to like go ride our bikes all day, which is super fun and super challenging.
Go ride our bikes, have fun.
Yeah. So
it is all of it.
Yeah. So whatever you do, whatever mantra, and sometimes like I can't even think of a mantra and I just start counting because I can't get out of my own brain because I'm going crazy. And I might be the most crazy person in the world. So for that's fine too. I'll take that, I guess. Have fun, you know, not drink the tequila.
I can argue that.
Sweat ketchup or mayonnaise. I don't know. Do something. Eat waffles.
I mean, there will be plenty of waffles.
Yeah.
You know, there will be waffles.
There will be waffles. There might be tequila.
There's going to be, no, there's not going to be mine. There's going to be a ton of tequila.
Okay. Beer.
Come on out. Cinco de mayonnaise.
Well, I'm excited to see everybody toe the line. So I appreciate the conversation and, you know, we'll go out and suffer and, you know, I'm sure I'll get heckled a lot now from this. So whatever. It'll make my day entertaining.
Oh, yeah. No, you're totally great. You know, we still got a long time at the BWR. It's May 5th. You know, we might have to get you back on here before then because you know, this is supposed to be about 25 conversation. It's almost an hour. So there's plenty more we can go hit that we did not touch on. And you know what? Enjoy that rosé, and yeah, we will chat soon. Much appreciated, Allison.
All right, thanks, guys. Good luck.